It's Saturday, April the 4th, 2020, and we're still in social distancing and quarantine and unable to meet together as a church. And as I have said, I've had it on my heart to share a message with our church family from week to week during this time. Thankful to God for His many blessings. Thankful for this last week. And last Wednesday, we were able to virtually assemble through a Zoom Bible study. And I felt blessed to be able to be a part of that and to see you. And truly thankful for the way that God has blessed us, blessed our church family. And this message, even though it may be heard by many as we're going to post it on the internet, is a message that's intended to be to our church family at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Bolivar, Missouri. Wanted to start by just kind of sharing our current situation. It doesn't appear that we're any closer to being able to meet together, so our services this week will be canceled. Last night, on Friday, April the 3rd, Governor Mike Parsons issued a stay-at-home order that lasts from Monday, this coming Monday, until April 24th. And so about 3 weeks that Missourians are encouraged to stay home to stop the spread of the coronavirus, the COVID-19 virus that has caused this global pandemic. At this date today, there's approximately 1.2 million cases that have been reported worldwide. In our own country, the United States, 300,000 cases reported, 8,300 people have died from COVID-19 that we know about. In our own state, in Missouri, there's been 2,000 cases, slightly more than that, and 36 people have died. But praise God, there hasn't been any cases that have been confirmed in Polk County. And I just would encourage us all to continue to pray that we would be spared from this plague, continue to pray for our country, to continue to pray for our leaders and the things that they're experiencing now as they try to lead the country, and those that are in leadership positions that are trying to lead through this time. This is very difficult. And let's just pray to the Lord to heal our land. I also wanted just to remind the church why it is that we're not meeting at this time. I believe I said this last week as well, but it's not because we're afraid. I'm not fearful of this virus or this epidemic. I know that God is our protector. This is not a religious liberty issue. I know some have raised that concern that the orders are a religious liberty issue. But the reason that we're not meeting is because we do want to respect our leaders' request, not just for churches not to meet, but for all assemblies not to meet at this time to slow the spread of the virus and to protect the people. And also, we don't meet in person because we have a love for our neighbor and desire for their well-being. As Jesus said, the second greatest commandment is that we love our neighbor as ourself. And because of that, we're refraining from doing a lot of things that we enjoy, including being together with the assembly. And so a few announcements this morning. First of all, Mission Sunday is April 5th. And so this is when we collect an offering to support our missionaries, and they still have needs even though we're not meeting. I've actually had some that have asked me how they can give offerings to the church during this time. So I spoke with Brother Gerald, and he said that if we want to give an offering, we can give by putting that in an envelope and putting it in the drop box at Guyana Andrews State Farm Insurance location in Bolivar there on Springfield Avenue. Or what you can do is put it in the mail, and you can mail your offering to P.O. Box 14, Bolivar, Missouri, and that will address it to the church, P.O. Box 14, Bolivar, Missouri, and that will get to Gerald, and that way he can deposit that offering, and that way we can give to our missionaries who are serving in various capacities. Also, an announcement that we will need to cancel our bus trip for Tennessee. If we feel like we need to do that by the 27th of April. So just wanted to make sure that you knew that. So those that are involved with that committee can converse about whether or not we're able to take a bus this year to the Tennessee Youth Weekend, which would be the end of May. Also, I'm working on a special Easter service that will comply with the requirements of social distancing, and so I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. Services for this week would be canceled, and so there'll be no public worship service tomorrow in the morning or the evening. We are going to have a 10:30 a.m. time of announcement and prayer before we go into our family devotion. I'm going to send that information how you can link to that through a Zoom meeting. We can have announcements there in prayer, and then people can go to their family devotions. That's what we'll do for our Sunday service. Wednesday night, we'll again have a virtual Bible study at 7 o'clock, and I'll send information about that. So those are the announcements for today. I'll put those in the email that I send out to the church, and now we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I just want to bow before you this morning and give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you've expressed toward us through Jesus Christ, for your salvation, for the Holy Spirit that we have, the Comforter that is here even with us as we sit and as we have our being. We're thankful, Lord, that your Spirit is with us. We thank you, Lord, that we're never alone, that we always have your presence with us, and that you have promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for your church. And we pray that during this time that is unprecedented, a time that we've never experienced anything like it before, that you would strengthen your church, strengthen our faith, help us, Lord, to remember and be more thankful for what you've done for us, and to be more zealous for your cause. Help us, Lord, to long for the assembly, but also to long for the salvation of lost souls, and be prayerful from our homes for all those that need you, even this very hour. I pray, Lord, for our country. I just ask that you would protect us and heal us, Lord, from this virus. I pray, Lord, that you would be with our leaders, that you'd give them wisdom and insight. We pray, Lord, that you'd give them strength and clear discernment about when to act and when not to act. I pray, dear God, that you'd heal our land. I ask, dear God, that you would protect us here from that pandemic as you've been so faithful to do so far. Lord, if it could be in your will that we would avoid this plague, that would be our desire. And we just pray, dear God, for your protection and for your healing. We thank you, Lord, for the good news that we heard from the Child's family this week. Pray, dear God, you continue to be with them. Pray that you'd be with all the needs of our church family. No doubt there are a lot of things that we're going through right now that we're not able to share one with another. But, Lord, you know every need that we have. You know every thought that we think and every heartache that we feel. And I just pray that you would supply the needs of your people. I pray that you'd especially be with those that are lonely right now, that are by themselves and that are feeling the effects of that mentally and emotionally. I pray, dear God, that you'd be with them in a special way and let them know that you're very close and near them. And if there are any that are hurting and that are without, I pray that you'd allow us to be able to help fulfill that need if it would be your will. And I just pray, dear God, that you'd bless this little message and scripture reading that we have this morning, that you'd bless it to your honor and glory. We pray, dear God, for the lost. We ask, dear God, if there are any that are under the sound of my voice right now that don't know you as their Savior, that they would, before it's too late, bow down upon their knees call upon your name, asking for your forgiveness and the salvation of their souls. Again, Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and bless this time we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Our thought for a small devotional this day would be several verses I'm going to read, but it's going to be about boasting about tomorrow. And there are several scriptures that tell us not to boast about tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow holds. The 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs in the first verse says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And if ever there was a time that feels true, it feels true right now. We don't know what tomorrow holds, and because of that, we can't pretend to know what it is that's going to be coming our way in the next few days or even tomorrow. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him?" And of course, that's a rhetorical question. The answer is that no one can. Only God knows what tomorrow holds. And then I want to spend some time this morning in the fourth chapter of James. And in the 13th verse, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So that little thought from the first verse of the 27th chapter of Proverbs, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." You know, the future is always uncertain. It's just apparent to us right now. We never have known what tomorrow holds. We think about the great revival meeting we were able to experience at the earlier part of the month of March, and I was reflecting about how that God richly blessed those services. His Spirit was with us. We were able to see people added to the church, souls being saved. And we just thought what a wonderful service it was that we had. But none of us had any thought about the things that we were to experience later in the month or that we wouldn't be able to meet. Maybe there were some when we closed the services that they weren't satisfied and they thought, well, maybe next week I'll seek the Lord. Maybe next week I'll pray. And then the next week we weren't able to get together. And so that opportunity wasn't there that they thought might have been there. This week at work, there was several things that came up that we were talking about our future plans, and comments were made that we said, well, it's really not clear right now what the future is going to look like. Let's address this situation in another 30 days and see where we are. It feels like we shouldn't make certain plans about tomorrow in such a time of uncertainty. And it made me think about how that really life is always uncertain. Tomorrow always is uncertain. We don't know if we have it. We don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow for us or what tomorrow will bring if it does come. And so that's why it's so important that we always remember that the future is uncertain. And even though we might plan for the future, we should always plan for the future with a mind toward knowing that things are uncertain and we don't know what will come. And ask the question in our life, are we doing what we should today to prepare us? Are we doing what God wants us to do today to prepare us for a better tomorrow? Will the actions that we do today lead to a better tomorrow? And if we trust in the Lord today, He'll protect us in the future. But it's always uncertain. I know people have anxiety about tomorrow, and you wonder, well, how can you live like this? You don't even know if things will be back to normal tomorrow. We've never known that. The way to be free from anxiety today is to trust in the Lord today, to allow His Spirit to be with us today, to be obedient to Him today. For tomorrow has always been uncertain. In February, we were making plans for the summer, and we felt like things were certain. And all of those plans have either been canceled or we've thought about canceling them. Maybe you had plans this last month that got canceled. And when you made those plans, you thought they were certain, but they weren't. Now you look at life and you say it's uncertain. And my message today is that it's always been that way. It's always been uncertain. We need to do the best that we can with where we are today and trust in God today and live by faith today and seek the Lord today, for we don't know what tomorrow will hold. Not only is life uncertain, but life is short. In the passage we read today, it says that what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Friends, our life is very short. A vapor, you can get the picture that James is using, that a mist goes up into the air and it's here for just a short time and then it vanishes into the air. And he said, our life is like that. In the scripture, it says that we, might have 70 years. If we live a full life, maybe 80, by reason of strength. Some live till they're 90 or 100 years old. But really, if you look at life, it's very short. Some people, their life is cut off when they're very young. We're seeing this in front of us with the COVID situation. It mainly has affected elderly people, but not only elderly people. There are people right now that are fighting for their lives that are in their 20s and their 30s, and they're on ventilators in the hospital because of COVID, and it's so contagious. We don't know how long that we have. We don't know if we have tomorrow. I want to encourage anybody that might be listening to this that doesn't have hope in Christ. You're not saved. You never have sought the Lord. You never have trusted in Him for your salvation. Use this time as a wake-up call. Pray to God, even today. Ask God to come into your heart. Ask God to save your soul. Even though everything is closed today, everything is canceled, God's ear is still open. His ear is still listening to the prayers of those that call out to Him by faith. And even today, as you're listening to my message, I want you to know that the wells of salvation are available to all that come to them. The Bible says that whosoever will may come to the water of life and drink freely. And that hasn't changed. COVID hasn't changed that. Social distancing doesn't change that. Even though you must stay physically separated from people, you can draw spiritually to Christ and lean upon Him for your soul's welfare. I encourage sinners to seek the Lord today. You don't need to be in a church service to seek the Lord. You can, where you're at right now, by yourself, kneel down, call upon God, and today could be the day of salvation for you. Our life is short. This life that we have is like a vapor, but the next life, eternal life, is, for lack of better words, it's long. You want to make sure that you invest in this short time for eternity. Don't squander your life today in this short time that we have, but use this time to prepare yourself for eternity. So life is short. To make our own plans is foolish. But to seek God's direction is wisdom. In this scripture, it says, there are people that say, tomorrow I'm going to go to such a city and I'm going to continue there for a year and I'm going to buy and sell and I'm going to get gain and I'm going to get wealth. And he says, you don't know what tomorrow might bring. Those plans may be fine or they may not be. But what's better to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I've heard people use this, and then they just take their own plans and they'll put in front of it, well, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. That's not the proper interpretation of this passage. What James is saying is that should be our mentality when we look to the future. We should say, God, what is it that you want me to do? If it's your will that I do this, I'll do it. If it's your will that I do that, then I'll do that. But for me to make my own plans when life is short and life is so uncertain is foolish. Because we don't know what we have tomorrow. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know, and so you want to make sure that today you're doing God's will. Wisdom in life is saying today, Lord, what is your will? What is it that your desire, what is your desire for my life? What is it that you want me to do? And if you will that I do this, I will do it. And if you will that I do that, I will do that. If it's your will to go, I'll go. If it's your will to stay, I'll stay. You see, wisdom is when we first ask God, which way do you want me to go? And then we follow him. We follow him. That is wisdom. I think we should use this time for reflection. Am I going where God wants me to go? Am I living by faith? The Bible says the just shall live by his faith. Am I living by my faith? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I obedient to his will? If I'm doing that, then it really doesn't matter what tomorrow holds because he's leading me and he knows what's tomorrow. But I have to answer that for my own self. You have to answer that for yourself. Am I doing what God wants me to do today? Wisdom says, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. And then lastly, to do good is righteousness, but not to do good, when you know what it is sin. The last verse, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It couldn't be any more plain than that. If you know the right thing to do and then you don't do it, to you it's sin. In life, there are times where there are things that I've been told to do, the good that God wants me to do today. He shows it to me. If I do it, then it's righteousness. If God leads me to do something and I do it, it's righteousness. But if God leads me to do something, he shows me the right thing to do, and I don't do it, it's sin. And I think this is a perfect sermon for today in terms of the lesson from James is we don't know what tomorrow brings. We're finally aware of that now. We don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. And so we need to make sure that when we know to do good, that we're doing it in that hour that we know to do it, that we're obedient to him. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. If God has shown you something and you have decided not to follow, it's sin for you. You might be able to justify it and say, well, somebody else isn't doing that. But to them, God hasn't led them in that direction. There are things that could be a sin for you that wouldn't be a sin for someone else. And that's how personal our religion is. God may lead us to do or say something or to be obedient to him in some way. If you know that, I just want you to reflect on that. Do you know that? Today, something God's leading you to do, are you doing what he wants you to do? If you are, then it's righteousness. God will bless you for that. God will bless obedience. But if we know the right thing to do, and no matter what our excuse is, we don't do it, James says that to us, it's sin. And that's my thought. And I want to leave us today with words from an old hymn that we always sing, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. The lyrics say this, I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I pray that God richly blesses you on this day.